Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Mahotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet. And this is, of course, a special edition of New Day. And needless to say, today has been a very productive and powerful day. It is, of course, a day that is commemorated every December 9th, and that is, of course, in recognition of the attempted assassination of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Yep, again, this day, December 9th, 1981, is when, of course, the initial situation happened with Officer Daniel Faulkner, and of course the beginning of the not only setup but the systemic or the system, I'll just say specifically the systems attack on Mumia, as it had been doing for a number of years. You know, the information distinctively shows, or the records, the files, etc., distinctively shows how this system had been targeting him at the age of 14, when he was, of course, Minister of Information for the Black Panther Party, the original Black Panther Party. And so certainly over the years, they had been, you know, observing him, watching him, waiting, and so forth and so on. And so today, again, commemorates Mumia's attempted assassination. At any rate, very shortly we're going to hear from Sister Pam Africa, who is going to give us some insight into what happened today for the commemoration. There was, of course, an activity that took place today, and she's going to give you a report on that. And we're going to also get a special message from the Minister of Information. Again, one of the reasons why we're doing this special edition is because, of course, the great spokesman and freedom fighter, Marcus Garvey Jr., of course, made transition last night or yesterday, and so we're going to commemorate him for our program tonight as well. And Sister Pam Africa is going to share with us some information about him, because she, of course, did have the opportunity to meet him. And he did also stand up for Mumia Abu-Jamal years ago. And Sister Pam will tell you about that. We're going to also hear from Brother Imhotep, who attended the activities today. And here in Philadelphia, the commemoration again in regards to Mumia Abu-Jamal. And he's going to also tell you a little bit about Mumia's new book that has just been released officially today. It was available today, of course, at the rally, at the press conference. And so Brother Imhotep is going to, again, share some of that information with you as well. We also want to make sure that you know that there will be a special commemoration for the great Amy Jacks Garvey. We will be doing that because Amy Jacks Garvey is, of course, one of our sister saints for the Million Woman March Universal Movement. So we will be doing a special tribute to her on December 28th as a part also of our Kwanzaa observance. And so we'll be giving you a little bit more information about that as well. Okay. The next thing we want to remind you, too, is that December the 17th, through the 20th is our next installation of what we just did this past weekend, which was, of course, incredible. I mean, if you did not get a chance to be a part of some of those sessions, man, I'm telling you, you missed it. But fortunately, we are working on getting it available for you so that you can, you know, kind of find, or we're looking at putting it up on either on YouTube or some other media outlet where you can see at least some of the sessions that we held. Again, absolutely incredible. And we're going to give you some kind of overviews about that as well. At any rate, that's going to happen again December 17th through the 20th. We're going to do the next phase, the next sessions of For Our Territory Justice, R4J Now, virtual conference. And at that point, we will also be giving you additional information about the first or the kickoff for the concerts, the Black Human Rights Concerts, the International Black Human Rights Concert. The first one is going to take place on February the 21st and the 22nd. It's a 24-hour marathon. It's international, and it's featuring Baba Abiodun of The Last Poets, Baba Bilal, Sunni Ali. Of course, he was with the Gil Scott-Heron Band, the Midnight Band, and others are coming on board. We're putting a call out also to those artists who may want to be a part of this, because we want to make certain that some up-and-coming artists that might not be so well-known is able to get some of their work out, and we will certainly help promote it. And there will be some bigger names coming in. We can't tell you who just yet, but there's some other artists that you're very, very familiar with that will be joining us also. But we'll be giving more information about that during the session for the upcoming December 17th through the 20th, okay? So at any rate, moving right along, let's see, in a few minutes we're going to talk to Sister PM Africa. And before we do, I just want to give you a little bit of information about, hold on 1 minute, about, of course, the great spokesman known as Marcus Garvey Jr. Okay, Marcus Garvey Jr. Was the firstborn son of course, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, and he made transition yesterday, Tuesday, in Wellington, Florida. He was 90 years of age, 90 years of age, okay? And they're saying that the cause of death was as a result of Alzheimer's disease. And so apparently he had been battling that for quite a few years. And so, again, we want to pay tribute now to a new ancestor, that being, of course, the spokesman, the great spokesman and freedom fighter, Marcus Garvey Jr. Again, he was not only a very eloquent spokesperson, but as a profession, he was an electrical engineer. He was also a physicist and a mathematician, okay? So, again, just to give you a little bit of history about the great Marcus Garvey Jr. All right, so what we're going to do now, family, is we're going to get ready to go to our live line. And joining us in a few minutes is going to be Sister Pam Africa. And so, again, we want to remind you that this is a special edition, and this special edition is, of course, to bring information update on Mumia Abu-Jamal and also to pay tribute to Marcus Garvey Jr. Okay, so with that said, I'm going to get ready to hail up Sister Pam, so bear with me for a few moments. Okay, we're going to call her up right now. Okay, that should do it. And this should connect us in a few minutes. Oh, not hearing any phone ringing. Okay, let's see. All right.
Hello.
There you go. We got you. All right.
Okay.
I didn't hear any ringing there, but that's okay because we got you.
That's because I was waiting for the call before I pass out. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right. Well, we got you. We're on. And so I was just giving everyone some a little bit of information about Marcus Garvey Jr. You know, I didn't even know he was a physicist and a mathematician. I just found that one out. I knew he, you know, had a background in science, but I didn't know exactly what it was.
I didn't know that either, but it's good to know. Very good to know. Yeah. So what are we up to tonight?
Well, we want to talk a bit about, of course, you know, I call him the great spokesman, Marcus Garvey Jr. But, of course, we also mentioned today, Sister Pan, that this is a day that we commemorate every year, December 9th. This is the day that we remember that Mumia was almost assassinated. And of course, every year there's activities of some sort here in Philadelphia, often in New York, often in California, and in other countries sometimes. So we know with COVID that might have been a little different this year, but certainly there was something here in Philadelphia today. And if you want to just share a little bit of information about that. And also, of course, the fact that the great spokesman, Marcus Garvey Jr., he too spoke out for Mumia.
Yes, he did. And I'll tell you, I got a couple good stories, you know, dealing with Marcus Garvey Jr. When I first got on the move, you know, getting involved in stuff, you know, I would speak wherever, you know, people would ask me to speak, going around asking people, can I speak? Well, Marcus Garvey Jr. was having some event on the outside. I didn't really know who Marcus Garvey Jr. was, you know, or that this is a nationalist kind of thing. So I came up, me and a sister, and when I got there, one, you know, when I got there and was going in, a white supporter came up. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going in here to the Marcus Garvey event. He said, oh, can I go with you? So we go in, and Sister Rosemary Millie, and she was sitting with some friends, and for some reason, the white brother got separated from us, right? And I see Rosemary. Mm-hmm. And me and the other sister that was with me, I can't remember whether it was Cheryl, whether it was Sister Alicia Bashabas, it was some other strong sister, you know, in the movement. I think it was Sister Alicia Bashabas. Maybe not. But so, you know, Rosemary and us, we all laughing and we're talking and stuff. And the white brother, he came over and he said, Sister Pam. And, you know, and he started talking, right? So we talking, and I turned around, look, Rosemary Millie and the other sister is gone. They done moved, right? And I'm not thinking nothing of it. And, you know, so when dude got finished, I wanted to go over there where they were at. And also, I go over there, and, you know, where they was at. And sure enough, don't he follow me over there? And, you know, I was looking at Rosemary. She was looking like, you know, come on, you know, I don't understand. And but I say this to say, Marcus Garvey Jr. is very profound, because where other people move from me because of the white guy that came there, and you know, he pulled me up on the stage to put out information about Mumia. And he knew who I was with, because everybody could see the shit. I mean, the thing going down, people moving like I had to play. I didn't understand it. You know, but I'm just saying, you know, the brother definitely about the information and what can you bring to the community. And because, you know, I had a lot of information, because I don't just talk about Mumia. I talk about the air, the water, the food, the soil, you know, prisons. You know, it's you know, I try to keep it 360 and, you know, on necessity of life. So he felt that. And, you know, and he gave me a nice, warm, loving hug when I came up there. And, you know, and he clapped for me, you know, and leaving. And other people did, too. You know, but that was my first experience, right? And then the next time was when they signed the death warrant for Mumia. on and people told me, you know what had happened and why people was moving away from me, right? So the next time when they signed the death warrant on Mumia, on Marcus, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey's birthday, and that struck a rock in the nationalist community, because there was some coming out before, but at the point that Marcus Garvey Jr. stepped up to confront, I'm quite sure he supported before then, but for him to come to Philadelphia and stand with all the other people, so some people think they know people, and some people, have their own stories, and I found him a very remarkable, warm, kind person. That's how he was to me. And, behind him signing that death warrant, like an insult, you going to kill Mumia on Marcus Garvey's birthday?
Yes.
You got to be kidding.
Yes.
You got to be kidding.
That's right.
On any day. But you really got to be, you think that this is going to go down, and it didn't. Honey, we pulled out a demonstration that was out of this world. 10,000 people in the street. This is what they said. They said it was 2.5 million, women, in Philadelphia for the Million Woman March. We know if they say 2.5, it might be 3, So we always know that it's a whole lot more. They was the ones who gave, I just knew it was a whole lot of people. It was a whole lot of all kind of people, and it was just, it was a good feeling for us, as people coming together and going after this system and saying, oh, no, the hell you won't. You won't. But, it just, everything that this system do, to harm us, and send us, little messages. And for Good Friday, what the hell? Ain't this the day that they killed the brother? Good Friday, And then you dress up in clothes, and it's a festive day. I don't know whether that's the day they put ashes on your head, or what. I'm not mocking anybody's, religion, but shit, Good Friday.
Right.
Look, let me tell you something. We were, somebody called us one day and told us that city council was getting ready to pass Kiss a Cop Day on May 13th. I was one place, Ramona was another. When that phone call hit, we said, we going to fuck down there, and we was letting them know. And we was like, look, ain't no way the day you dropped a bomb to kill my brothers and sisters, you going to call it Kiss a Cop Day? Oh, yeah. And by the time we got down there, we let them know that we were coming and other people was coming. They said that, they didn't put it up there. They didn't put it up.
Right.
They pushed that bill thing to the side. But all claiming that they didn't know May 13th, just like the stuff with Asada. They put that bigger bounty on her head. Every man and woman in Congress signed that thing. Then you say, oh, no, not you, Maxie. Oh, no, not you, this one. Oh, not you. And it comes with these things of saying, what was their excuse? We didn't know. We didn't know that Asada Shakur.
Right. We didn't know that was her
was
name.
Excuse me?
Know in Cuba? Yeah.
Come on. They all signed it, and then they said, well, you didn't know. It's your job. You signed something for cops, I don't care what label they put on them, cops, army, navy, they all the same damn thing. Majority white men with guns with a hate for black folks, and some black folks in there that just don't know, and some that know that, whatever. You had everybody.
That's right.
And I'm like, you know, how do you not know? Just like when the bill came across, you know, here in Philadelphia, and in Washington, and when the head of the NAACP was going to be made the NAACP legal defense, was going to be made the what's the big name on human rights? You know, they have this big position. Okay, no, I'm tired. I can't think of the name right now. So, you know, if you can help
right.
me. But I'll start talking. I'll start talking, and it'll click to some of us anyway. When they said they wasn't going to put this head, this brother, the head of the human rights, civil rights. Oh, that civil rights is the word. They was going to put Abu Dhabi, and you know, and I hope I'm pronouncing the brother's name right, and you know, his background, you know, is awesome. It's awesome. And I think he comes from Africa, and you know, he ain't from here. And but you know, went through this whole, you know, process and all, and becoming the number one person in dealing with voting rights. He handled the whole thing on voting. They had to get rid of him. He was getting ready, Holder. And Holder and had actually was stepping, and they was putting Abu Dhabi in his place. And white folks went crazy. And you know what they used? Misused? They misused Mumia. And because Mumia, among some hateful people, and you know, and especially cops, and they said that Abu Dhabi defended Mumia, and that's how come Mumia got off of death row. Now, what a horrible damn thing to say. You know, these monsters, and all saw red, but it wasn't the red for Mumia. That, you know, that was impressive. But people missed the point. When they removed that man, and it became a situation where all this stuff with voter fraud and all that stuff that was happening, it wouldn't have been happening here. How they changed the laws to this, to that, and, you know, the other, you know, after they got rid of this man. And what they said that he supported, you know, Mumia from the NAACP legal defense, right? And he had been involved in them signing, you know, making papers. That wasn't true because he came in after, you know, the brother who passed, who was the head of the NAACP legal defense, you know, fund, you know, then. And they supplied, they, you know, we had some of their lawyers. You know, but but you know, anyway, when they got rid of him, they misused Mumia, and but it was exposing what was going on, and because see, you can't misuse a right thing, and you know, right is only going to be right. I don't give a damn if you don't see it today. You'll see it tomorrow. It might take you 10 or 20 years. Look how long it took people to, you know, put these across at 11th and Market. It's this huge, huge billboard.
And you know, 40, I called you as soon as I seen
you. Right. And I went down there and I saw it. So I'm saying the truth, that documentary that came on, the one of HBO Max, 40 Years a Prisoner.
Yeah.
And, you know, who in the hell would have ever thought? And then shut down a garage. Hey, to shut down a garage at 18th and Cherry, take, you know, take two floors and do a move exhibit. You know, for anybody who want, you know, copies of that, because it was only 2 days and it was in the papers, and I found out. Yeah, so you know, I went the first day, and there was a lot of people that I you know, I knew that was there, and then you know, I went back the second day because some pictures that I wanted to take, and I didn't take, and all, and I wanted to go back and take them. So me and Brother Kamal went there. And when we went there, it hit me. This is over today. And I tell you this too, there were some blacks that was coming through, but white folks was coming through. You know, they always like our stuff better than we like it, some of them, you know. But, I mean, they right. cause was like, you know, it, and then, you know, there was us. When we came in groups because I don't think we really trust these people down there. Very few people was, you know, by themselves. And, you know, like car lift wise. And
right.
but it was a magnificent, and I don't, because I filmed it from the first thing you saw to the last thing you saw.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I wanted people to see what I saw, and you know, and to understand in this year 2020, you know, what it takes is being consistent. And you
That's
know,
right.
we've watched people come, we watch people go, and but you know, our position is, you know, you never know what reason somebody got to step off for, but you bring them back, you open your arms up, you bring them back into the fold, let them do what it is that they can do. Don't put your expectations on, you know, someone else, and don't, you know, these youth, man, look at here, I love them all. And all, you know, because they was the ones who lit the freaking fire up under the ministers, up under the politicians, up under the president's ass.
Right.
And all, you know, they lit fire in here. What they say, if we don't get it, shut it down, right? They say, if you can't give us our human rights, you know? And I'm saying, that is something that should have been done long. And you know what? Each thing in its time. And, you know, but the center of it is, you know, because this is, you know, these kids is fed up. And but we was those kids some years ago that was fed up and are turning city council out, duking it up with the cops, duking it up with the damn guards,
right,
duking
right.
up with some of them damn city council people. If you remember, was it Rafferty and what's his name? Milton Street got the fighting in there. And
right.
I think one
yeah.
time
yeah.
John Street and somebody, yeah. Oh, yeah, shit, black folks
right.
had to fight, you know, like, it was like, you know, it was almost like when they you, when you stand up, it's like, boys, sit the hell on down, but they had the wrong boys. And, you know, you have those that sit down, and but then you have those who say, let's get it on, you know, city council, and, you know, those things, you know, was quite different now. And I know there's glory in the thing that Zoom is here. And because, you know, you don't have to worry about grabbing one of them motherfuckers. Here I go. Grabbing
that's
one
right.
of them, you know, unjust monsters, you know, and, you know, picking up and throwing them out of the window some damn where. And because the games that they play, and people say, well, you know, that's how they are. That's how we allow them
right.
motherfuckers to be. You know, you going to poison my air and sit there, and, you know, our children are dying from it. And our COVID ain't touching nothing compared to the lives they have lost every day, every season from drinking this water. From drinking
that's
this
right.
water. And then they'll turn, and then they'll turn around and tell you that drinking this, you know, oh, well, you can't drink that. Because people was fighting, you know, for good water. They put it in a plastic
right.
bottle and got us running to the store after time. That's the only way you can get some, you know, different kind of water. You won't have to buy it from
right.
somewhere. And, you know,
right.
and if you don't have the money, you know, it's machines to clean that water for you, but if you ain't got the money, you know, you're still in bad shape. It takes, you know, money to get, you know, to get that. And some of us want that stuff. I know I want it. I know I want it. So put something aside
yeah.
because you, and glass bottles. I used to have a lot of glass bottles.
Right.
You know, it's back to that. You know. But, you know, today is
I remember remember when there was a couple of places we could go and get water and fill up our bottles?
That's right. They still have one. I think my brother says out 309 is near, it's not far from one of them shopping malls. You know, where you can still go and get it for a dollar, but that's their control.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, you can go up there, you can get a your 5 gallon thing, and for a dollar, you can fill that sucker up.
Right.
And, you know, as many as
right.
you want. Remember, we used to be able to go to the springs out there. Cars would be lined
that's
up,
right.
you know, for blocks. And but people waited to get that good crisp coming from the earth water. Now they got that stuff
yep.
sitting in plastic. They cook. They when they found out that they can make us pay for anything, all they had to do is say, "Daggone, everything is poison," or they poison it, and then cook the spring up, and that made us have to go. It's not like they had anything convenient, you know, here for us to go. We got to go way the hell out, you know. And I can't think of the area, but honey, you got to have a car. You got to have a car.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, one with some
yes,
space.
Indeed.
Yeah, this is how you know
yes,
they.
Indeed.
That's because they want us to keep on buying that other stuff. Them suckers got leave a
that's
lot of
right.
springs on their land. Yeah.
That's right.
And but yeah, today
so,
marks the 39th. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That, yeah. I want you to go there. Go ahead. Yep.
Right. And, you know, and I just want to say about Brother Marcus Garvey Jr. And, you know, again, to me, I found him to be, you know, a good person. And, you know,
yeah.
and I cherish every moment that I spent with him, although it was just, you know, a few hours. But that few hours in time, each time was good. I wrapped my arms around him at the, I think it was the Millions for Mamiya, one we did. No,
mm-hmm.
that's when he signed the death warrant, You know, when he came and brought his posse with him. And on the mere fact of his name brought out a whole lot more people. Ones that, you know, I'm with you, but, you know, you I don't come to stuff because you got some white folks down here. What the hell did that got to do with anything? you know, when you got to say, I'm saying, well, okay. All right, then, you know, get together with some black folks. And if you think that it's just with me, get together and do that. Do that.
Right.
You know, do that. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm working to bring Mamiya home. And, you know, not anybody
right.
that's working to do that. And, you know, and
right.
you ain't, you ain't hurting nobody, you know, anything, you know. And, you know. Come on, because one thing, and doing this work, you only get better. You meet some really good people, and you really learn how to actually fill people out, and you also learn that you got to
right.
give people a chance.
That's right.
And because you never know what people is going through in their lives, and they want to come and help, and they really don't know how to, or some people is known to, you know. You know, whatever, you know, problems we bring to a movement, and, you know, we can work it out. We can work it out. And John Africa told us, keep your eye on the prize and stay consistent. And, you can only get better. And I'm telling you, I know that. I live that, you know. And to live and to see things where it's at now. And, you know, we're in... It's not like one of the things, oh, I see a name up on the billboard. But it's how the teachings of John Africa and the principle of staying, you know, you'll have problems along the way, but staying on that road no matter what. And that's where, you know, you get involved in every kind of human rights and you know, how does this government right now is diverting us while they rape and rob and kill and slaying black people every day. And, you know, turn one group of people against another group of people. And they all up there and all our daggone stuff. I'm talking about, you know, these white folks that go in there and just take, you know, and then sit there and all of a sudden they come to Afrikaans. You know, the Afrikaans and all is sitting
right.
there, you know. And sister, it was a sister from Africa. She was just so forthful and truthful. She said that, you know, a lot of our people come over there and, or, you know, and a lot of our people want to treat it like it's a tourist thing. And, you know, not really into, and then you have certain people that guard the door anyway, and are to people who you really need to talk to, who you really need to, to get some understanding, because those are the people that they tell you is crazy. They don't want nothing. That's right. They don't want no more of that BS that this government brings you. And how can somebody from some other land, some other country, and want to come over there, and they known for, you know, just raping, robbing, killing all around the world, and are coming there and be bigger than you are in your own country.
That's right.
Which is, you know, and, you know, they're sold out by politicians and stuff over here, and they sold out by, you know, politicians, whatever their labels is over there. And, you know, she said, because what this sister was saying, you know, we people, you know, will come, you know, over there and they want to take pictures with certain people. And, you know, because they have certain things. And, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, all our people, you know, because, you know, to do this, but I'm saying there's some of them. And, you know, which makes it bad for, you know, all the rest. You know, have, you know, people the way we are portrayed. And, you know, a lot of Africans, they don't want to socialize with, you know, people that's not, you know, African. You know? And
Right.
You know, but they're taught that. They're taught that.
That's
to
right.
see us other than them. And, you know, but we are you. And I'm not saying this is with everybody, but I will say it is with the majority. Am I right? Yeah.
And,
you know,
no doubt
about
it.
All
we see a
barrier.
A lot of
trouble. Yeah. And, you know, and those who believe in freedom, and, you know, we just can't wait. We just playing that out there in the cold. I love that.
Okay,
the rock.
We
don't
believe in freedom.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
And some public enemy. And, the public enemy was playing them out there, too. And, but that demonstration, 39 years today, that Mumia was beat, stomped, kicked, and picked his body up in his head, rammed into a fire hydrant, which split his head open. And, you know, and then, you know, thrown in a wagon and shot in the wagon. And, you know, that's what we're told. But one thing we know, Faulkner didn't shoot Mumia, you know, because the bullets and stuff was wrong. But, and then, you know, it said, you know, Mumia, I think Mumia said that he felt he got shot in the wagon. But anyway, Mumia was shot. He was shot, right, and taken away, kidnapped, and they didn't have Mumia 39 years. And it's been a 39-year battle, uphill battle, and, you know, to bring Mumia home alive, bring Mumia home alive, and, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, you had to, you know, fight these people, you know, tooth and nail. And so, you know, we have seen generations, and I'm talking about you and a lot of other people. This started in December of 81, and a Mumia was a target long before then, and when he was a young brother, you know, as a Panther.
That's right.
And each time Phil and tried to set him up twice with murders, remember? Oh, wait a minute. And, Lynn Washington did an article on Mumia, and I can't think of the name of it, and I think his site is This Can't Be Happening, and he was on Solomon Jones' show. and today and did this piece on Mumia.
Okay.
Everybody need to get it. Everybody need to get it. Everybody need to get it. If you want a free Mumia, the information is right there. You know, and we also have, you know, not that particular one. We got a video, and all, because a lot of people think Kaepernick just made the statement, and all, you know, and there was no connection to anything. Kaepernick was on a press conference, and all that.
That's right.
The campaign to bring Mumia home, and all the mobilization for Mumia. Some of the people, and some students. And, you know, us, you know, we was all involved in this, right? And, you know, show people how things grow. And, you know, there was no publicity being put out on Mumia because, you know, the government, and I'll go back into that story, but we're just right here, right now. And where, you know, they silenced Mumia. It's hard to tell the story without telling all of it, but it's just too much to explain. And but you know, just bringing people to where we're at now and why and how Mr. Kaepernick got there. You know, we needed publicity. We needed something to bring the case of Mumia, you know, back right out there into the front, as you know, because you know, Mumia is still sickening, right? You know, for those people who know Mumia, I don't know about the, you know, this line here, but most of the people that be on yours, you know, is familiar with Mumia. And if you're not, you can Google, you know, Mumia Abu-Jamal. You can go on YouTube and you can pull up, you know, God knows how many documentaries have been done on him. And each of them, you know, shows evidence of innocence. Each one of them also showed, you know, the conspiracy to kill Mumia in, you know, different people's time frame because they tried it, you know, in the 80s. They tried it in the 90s. They tried it in the 2000s, you know, and continue to go on up. And each time they was exposed because we was able to pull worldwide pressure, you know, on them and all by, you know, linking Mumia to everything that there is to link, you know, that we're fighting about because he's about everything. You know, a lot of the people, Earth First, and, you know, people that's opposed to the killing of, you know, the environment. And those are the lot of the people that come out. Animal rights people, every kind of nationalist, cultural people, and are amongst the people that come out for Mumia. And, you know, Kaepernick is not the first football player who, you know, came out, you know, for Mumia. But this was in a quiet way, you know, because the brother, I don't know his name, but people is in that, you know, field known, and our race car drivers, and all have come out and put Mumia sticker on the side of their cars when they pulled up and they was taking pictures. And it's been all kinds of good people. So, you know, the thing is, have people join Kaepernick with the stain. And why? Why would Kaepernick, with all, he can't get a job now, and with the brother having so wild, I'll say he cannot get nothing within the field of which he is the best at. He's good. One of the things he's the best at, because see, if he wasn't versed in human rights, how to really feel for people, and he never would have took the knee. And but when you say we who believe in freedom, and you know, you got to do something to bring attention to what's going on, make the world, if you got to be the sacrifice, and he dropped to his knee and he took all the blunt. They turned around and made it something completely different than what was his, you know, hatred for the flag, and you know, well, you know, all the stuff, what the old 45 Trump brought him on in there. But when they lie, people saw how they lie and do us all the time. You can have the truth sitting there in the face. Everybody know why he took that knee. It was behind police brutality. That's you know, they're killing the black people. That's why he took that knee. They made it anything but, and then had our people going along with their BS. Because if we can continue to stay firm, you know, continue to make those stands, that's why you have people out like Brother Jihad just got out. Brother Jalil, Monarchy.
Brother Jalil,
got out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But, you know, the threat that they're putting upon him. And, you know, this brother did, what, 50 years in jail? Was it 50?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. 50. Yes. Yep. Or pretty much, I think, a month off. Yeah. But yeah.
I know he did more. He did more time than, you know, Move did. And, yeah. And the last one to come out, which was Chucky, some got out in, what is it, 2019.
Right.
Yeah, and then the rest in 2020. And when the ones that got out in 2019, that was only behind the fact that, you know, that was the end of that year. That was December. Then you step into January, or either it was November, and then you right there in January. So, you know, they did those same amount of years that the rest of them did. And but, you know, if you go by the map, and you know, they'll tell you that it's a whole, you know, it's a whole year difference.
Yeah.
And, they got out, you know, when you say it, you know, they say, well, you got out in 2019 and y'all got out in 2020. So people not thinking, they thinking it was a year in difference. No, there was a few months in difference. And you know, when we got Janet and Janine out, because they let Debbie out first.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, all because
right.
People raised hell.
We got about
people, you know, look.
5 more minutes.
I am so sorry. Y'all take up all that time.
No, we got we just wanted to give people a briefing. We're going to recap on our regular program on Saturday. So we just wanted to kind of, you know, connect the dots with Mumia today and, of course, with the passing of the great spokesman, Marcus Garvey Jr. And I just wanted to share that information with the fact that he, too, of course, stood up, you know, to free Mumia. So, you know, we just felt that was a really good kind of vibration and connection to make sure that people knew that the spirit of Marcus Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, and his son, you know, also was brought forward in saying, you know, free Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I was getting ready to tell you about Janet, but we are getting ready to go off. But look, and on Mumia's new book, what I'm going to be doing, because what I want to do is educate people about the book, where Mumia, and, you know, where Mumia case is at right now and what they can do.
Okay.
And I'm going to set up at AFCAS. I'm going to set up at the UNIA and different people. And because what I'll tell them, you know, what I'll do is go live and all that, you know, and I'll have Mumia's books and all, you know, and tell them to come down at this particular place. And I had the book, and what I do is go around the stores and, you know, let people see what's on the inside there and what's the goods that you can come get. And that's my way of supporting black business.
All right. So what we'll do on Saturday's program, we'll give folks an update. And if you have some dates that you have secured or you already have in place, we'll let people know those dates. And we'll just keep people updated because, you know, we come on every week, so we'll definitely make sure that people get the information as it comes in.
All right, now look, on the move, and that HBO special. Did you tell them about the HBO special?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know we got Mike joining us December 20th. We got an evening with Mike Africa Jr.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay. All right.
Yes.
That is beautiful.
Yes,
so you're going to have a lot of listeners on that one. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
All right. All right now. Okay, I see you soon.
All right, my sister.
And
yes, indeed.
Want to move everyone. Oh, and Hotep.
Yeah,
I got to give it out to Hotep. Oh, okay then. And he was down there representing. He was down there representing. Left with two books.
Right.
I talked to you soon. He said I got to get one for my mom. Beautiful, beautiful. He knew you want that. Want to move now? I'm sorry. Okay.
All right. Peace. All right, family. That was Sister Pam Africa, of course. And we are now going to bring in, before we leave, we are going to bring in Brother Imhotep to get his report on the activities for today. And then we're going to close out. We just kind of wanted to give you a special update on what happened today and, of course, give a special salute, tribute to the great spokesman, Marcus Garvey Jr. And after Brother Imhotep gives his report, we're going to share with you a message from the Minister of Information for the UNIA ACL. Our brother, Lion Blyden, gave us a message to share with you from the organization on the passing of the eldest son of the Honorable Marcus Garvey. And so very shortly we're going to read that to you. In the meantime, we're going to bring in Brother Imhotep, and he's going to tell you a little bit about today from his vantage point and also a little bit about the book. And we'll give you more information, of course, on our regular program on Saturday. Of course, that's at 10:30 p.m. Okay, but for right now, let's go back to Live Line. And again, thank you for sharing with us. And, you know, so we'll be coming back on Saturday, and we'll definitely give us whatever updates to let you know what's going on. All right, greetings.
Peace, all right, how's everything?
Very good, okay. All right, so you just heard Sister Pam here give you a shout out there.
Yes, indeed. Peace and love to the Queen.
All right. So what we're going to do is get your report now, and then after that we're going to read the special message from the Minister of Information for the UNIA ACL. And that message, of course, I'll read to you, and it's from Brother Lion Blyden. But Hotep, tell us, again, you got a chance to at least see some of or feel some of the energy out there today and meet and talk with a few people. What was your perspective?
Oh, yes, indeed. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful energy. It was good to see the folks, present, on the move, active. And, I was actually coming up, walking up the block and coming up the trolley, so I had a couple of blocks to walk up. And I happened to see, he happened to see me, Shifu Bilal L, driving fast. And so he spun around. And met him over, and he stopped in the middle of 50 seconds. He's like, "Oh, Tuck." I turned around. "Oh, Shifu, I'm going to the rally." He whipped around, went over there, hopped out, came over there, and said a few words. "Oh, that's Shifu below." Pam seen him. "Oh, is that Shifu below?" And, he grabbed the mic and said, "Oh, yeah, that's the Minister of Defense, and so on and so." And, he grabbed the mic for a minute, and everything. So, it was beautiful. Saw some sisters out there. I built with a sister out there. And, they had some free food out there, for the neighborhood, produce and whatnot.
Yes.
So it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
At the post of Mumia up and, around the corner they had one of those neighborhood refrigerators, right directly around the corner. So that was beautiful. And then, had opportunity to build with a brother out there from the Moorish Science Temple. He was in support as well. So it was good to see folks from different perspectives and ideologies, still being able to unite under things that are just cause and just principle.
All right, all right. All right, family. I want to remind everyone. I'm sorry, say it again.
I said, of course I had to get the book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And tell them again the name of the book. And we'll be talking more about it on Saturday's program. But what is the name of the book?
Yes, the name of the book is Murder Incorporated, Empire Genocide Manifest Destiny, Perfecting Tyranny, Book 3. Mumia Abu-Jamal and Stephen Victoria. Forged by Angela Davis.
All right. Wonderful. And, of course, we will be utilizing the book a little later on. That's going to be one of our study group books. So you'll be hearing more about that book, all right? Okay, so what we're going to do before we close out is we are going to read some of the message, or not some of, we're going to read all of the message that was sent to us by Brother Lion Blyden. And, of course, again, he is the Minister of Information for the UNIA, ACL, and this is the official message coming from them in regards to the passing of Dr. Marcus Garvey Jr. And it says, Dr. Marcus Garvey Jr. was the eldest son and seventh president general of the UNIA ACL. This is a sad day for the UNIA ACL Garveyites worldwide. We will be flying our red, black, and green flags at half mast as we have lost one of our giants of leadership as a former president general of our organization. His family has our collective condolences. This is the Minister of Education, the Honorable Charles Butler. That was his message. And then it says, it is with a heavy heart that the UNIA announced the passing of the Honorable Marcus Garvey Jr., the seventh president of the UNIA and son of the founder, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. He was, again, the president general from 1992 to 2004. With 6 degrees and a fulfilled life, he will be missed. The information of the funeral and burial services are forthcoming. In the meantime, we ask our UNIA family to keep his wife, Jean, and their family in our prayers. Race first. And that's the message from Brother Lion Blyden of the UNIA. All right, family, we thank all of you for tuning in to this special edition of New Day, and we, of course, will be back regular time, Saturday at 10:30 p.m. We'll be giving you information updates about the upcoming Amy Jacks Garvey Day, which will take place December 28th, and also more information about the upcoming December 17th to 20th next session for the National Reparatory Justice RJ4 virtual conference. We got a lot of stuff coming your way with that one. This last week was incredible. Seth, before we close out, what was your thoughts about this past weekend's R4J virtual conference?
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Simply incredible. Simply incredible. I mean, just powerful, just dynamic. Oh, wow. I mean, it was incredible.
Yes, indeed. We had 3 days, and one day was just so packed. It was back to back. You know, we had former political prisoners, some that served 40-plus years. Of course, that was including Sister Janine Africa. We had Baba Bilal, Suni Ali. We had Brother Russell Schultz III, Pam Africa, Brother Fred Hampton Jr. We had Brother Justin Blake. Of course, he was the uncle, or is the uncle, of the brother who was shot 7 times, Brother Jacob Blake.
Oh man, it just went. The Reverend Pinckney and Pastor Keith and listen, it was just on and popping. And we're gonna be doing it again, y'all. When you hear the lineup. And by the way, we were supposed to have Dr. Julia Scarby joining us for this upcoming session. Unfortunately, again, due to the passing of his brother, I'm pretty sure we won't be able to have him for this one, but we look forward to having him for an upcoming one. But again, we'll keep you posted on that. But anyway, family, we're going to close this session out. Again, we thank you for tuning into the special edition. We remind you that you do need to register. There will be some free sessions, but we need you to register the sessions. You'll get a outline for it tomorrow. And also tomorrow, it looks like we might be doing a special edition briefly tomorrow night, because tomorrow the first phase of the letter of intent will go to United Nations. It will be sent by registered mail and also email and fax tomorrow. The first preliminary letter of intent goes to the United Nations tomorrow to begin to let them know that we are in the process of planning for the filing, the formal filings of We Charge Genocide. So tomorrow night we'll give you an update on that, as well as, of course, going into somewhat of the International Decade for African People. We'll be doing that tomorrow night, 9:30 again, and it'll just be a briefing because we want folks to kind of know what happened on tomorrow, which is International Human Rights Day. And with that, we'll be reviewing the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And tomorrow again, December 10th, 2020, the first official letter goes to the United Nations, advising them that the extended letter of intent is forthcoming, but this will be the notice tomorrow that will be sent to them that the letter of intent is forthcoming. So we'll keep you posted, family. And if you haven't signed on to the letter of intent signing, please, by all means, go to the website, sign on to the letter of intent. We are looking to get 1 million-plus signatures that we will take to the United Nations, hopefully in 2021. But again, we don't know dates yet until this COVID thing gives us some other kind of indication of what's going on. We can't do a lot of planning for actual dates yet. So at any rate, please go to the Collective Black People Movement site, and that's the cbpm.org/WeChargeGenocide21. Again, cbpm.org/WeChargeGenocide21. You can sign your name there for our letter of intent. You can also make a donation there. You'll see the Cash App information, which is Cash App at $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. Or you can use PayPal. And if you use your PayPal, you can just put in for the email address nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, ngmail.com. All right, family, till the next time, we're going to close out. And remember, we'll see you tomorrow night, or be with you tomorrow night, 9:30, for a briefing special edition. Tomorrow is International Human Rights Day. Until then, you know what we say. We're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there will never be any real peace until there's truly justice, meaning Ma'at. And as we say, if there's no justice, there's no what, Hotep?
No peace.
No peace. All right, family. We also say, Pomoja to the Shenda. Together we shall win.
and it's going to be in our lifetime. So next time, Tutanana.